Do that right through our website, hopechapelsterling.org, and the tabs right at the top will guide you through all of that. You can also give online if you'd like, including if you're here in the sanctuary, or you can also drop your gift in the boxes that are out by the doors. It's kind of as a COVID leftover. We're not passing the plates, and so we'll allow you to drop those out on the way out. May make some of you feel just a little bit more comfortable not having to touch what everybody else has touched. All right, so this morning's message is like, it's kind of like a Mission Impossible movie or like Fast and Furious. There's just like, there's Fast and Furious 1, Fast and Furious 2, Fast and Furious 3, right? Last week we looked at the message of coming out of Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12. So last week was the first movie, and it was underneath the idea of battle-tested. So for those of you who are kind of new or just kind of tapping into us or following along online, we've been looking at the book of Daniel since back in April. And Daniel is in the Old Testament. It's right after Ezekiel. And we have been looking at Daniel to discover, if you will, how it is that you and I can live in such a way that no matter what our circumstances are, we can thrive in life and we can thrive in our faith. And so we've been looking at the book of Daniel through this idea of being unshakable. And we come today to the end of our series. We're going to look at chapters 11 and 12. And they are actually a part of this three-part series in Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12. Daniel begins to pray about something that God has shown him, and we see what goes on behind the scenes before Daniel actually gets his answer. In Daniel chapter 11, we have what I would call, first the first 35 verses, what I would call back to the future. What I mean by that is it's going back for us, but it's actually the future for Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 1 through 35, Daniel just very quickly, through God's revelation to him, lays out what's going to happen among the nations that have direct impact on the people of God in the Middle East. And he lays out about 400 years of history in just 35 verses. He covers a couple of centuries, 200 years of leadership of the Medes and the Persians in verses 2 and 3. And then he talks about the Greeks that are going to come in under Alexander the Great in chapters 3 and 4. And that's quickly going to move down into a season of about 150 years where the remnants of Alexander the Great's empire are battling with one another. They are the kings of the north and the kings of the south that you'll see as you read through Daniel chapter 11. I'm not expecting you to remember all of this, right? So, and that's the Seleucid Empire in the north, based in what would be today modern-day Syria, and then the Ptolemaic dynasty, which was based in Egypt, and they're clashing with one another. That all leads up to a guy who usurps the throne in Syria or in the Seleucid dynasty, a guy by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, and he comes in right around 174 BC, and he just decimates Jerusalem. Not so much that he tears all the buildings down, but he defiles the temple. He destroys the altar. You know, he offers pigs, sets up an altar to Zeus, a bunch of other stuff in God's holy place. And all of this is laid out by Daniel in the first 35 verses. And then Daniel chapter, and so if for us, it's going back to history that we can go and read. For Daniel, he's laying out the future. Here's the number one thing where I'm just doing a little recap for you in that, because we're really going to focus on Daniel chapter 12 today as we wrap up our series. The reason I'm laying that out for you is because one of the things that we've seen over and over again in the scriptures is that God is directing human history. And the reason why Daniel is able to be so precise about what's going to happen is because God isn't just predicting the future, God is directing the future. Many scholars, when they study the scriptures and they come to the book of Daniel, and they see the specificity that he has about all the things that are going to happen, a lot of them draw the conclusion, well, this had to be written after all this was over. There's no way anybody could have known this up front. There's no way that Daniel, living in the 500s AD, could have seen what was going to happen in 175 AD with such detail. You know, it's not vague stuff like, you know, like what's going to get worse before it gets better, but he's very specific about what's going to happen. And the reason why is because God directs human history. He doesn't just predict it. And that's the message that you and I need to remember. But today I want to focus on Daniel chapter 12. And let's make sure we kind of bring everybody back up. And if you haven't been a part of the series, all of our messages are on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/hopechapel. And all the messages going all the way back to April on the book of Daniel are there for you to watch as a part of that. I think you can actually get them off of our Facebook page as well. But we looked at Daniel for this particular reason. Daniel, as a 15-year-old kid, was taken as a prisoner of war to a foreign country. And he was made to spend the rest of his life there. Yet even though he was a prisoner of war, forced to serve a government that was not of his own nation, he thrived. He succeeded. And he didn't do just that politically, or in terms of his political career, as he rose up to literally be right under the king of Babylon, and then working under Darius, the king underneath the Medes of this area, but he also thrived in his faith. And so we've been going through the book of Daniel, and we've been looking at what does it really take for you and I to be people who can thrive no matter what's going on around us, to be people who are unshakable in the way we live our lives. And today I want to bring us to Daniel chapter 12. And I'd love for you to grab a Bible if you haven't done so already. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, that's perfectly fine. There should be a Bible right underneath your chair in front of you. And if you're using one of our Bibles from our chairs, the text today is page 794. I was about ready to say 974, but it's 794. And again, Daniel's had a vision. And he doesn't understand it, so he asks God for an explanation. And that takes place in Daniel chapter 10, where God sends an angel. And we look at the battle test of last week. In that, the angel has been slowly unpacking what his vision means. In verse 36, he shifts to talking about what's going to happen in the end times. And in that, we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, at that time, Michael, the great prince, so he's an angel, an archangel, and we see him in the New Testament. At that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands watch over your people, will rise up. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred. That's already been explained for us in verses 36 and following through 45 at the end of chapter 7. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since nations came into being until that time. But at that time, all your people who are found written in the book will escape. Some of you have been hanging around church long enough. You've heard this phrase, perseverance of the saints, meaning that those of us who have a genuine faith in Christ, who God has really worked in and spoken in and made us into new creatures, that we will survive the test and experience the eternity with him, you find affirmation for that right here. Those whose names are found written in the book will escape. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. Resurrection, which we anticipate. Those who have insight or wisdom, some of your translations have, will shine like the bright expanse of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. We're going to come back to that. That's going to be our focal passage for today. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will roam about and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, And two others were standing there, one on this bank of the river and one on the other. And one of them said to the man dressed in linen, so for origin, going back to Daniel chapter 10, in his vision, as God comes and it sends a messenger, the angel arrives, he's literally hovering over the Tigris River just outside the city of Babylon. And so he's been relaying this message, and now some others speak up, and they ask a question of the angel who's given a message to Daniel. And here's their question: how long until the end of these wondrous things? Then I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the water of the river. He raised both his hands towards heaven and swore by him who lives eternally that it would be for a time, times, and a half a time. We understand that to be for 3.5 years. This desolation that's going to occur as a part of the end time, when the Antichrist, who Antiochus Epiphanes was a archetype of, when this Antichrist comes, there's going to be this turning moment, and it's going to be for a time, times, and a half a time, meaning 3.5 years. When the power of the holy people is shattered and all these things will be completed. I heard, but did not understand. That happens to us sometimes when we read God's word, right? We hear, but we don't understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are secret and sealed until the end of time. In other words, I'm not going to tell you when this is going to happen, right? He said, but know this, many will be purified, cleansed, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now, for some reason, that's 3.5 years plus 30 days. We don't really know why there is the extra 30 days. Happy is the one who waits for and reaches 1,335 days. So there's another 4. I don't know. Maybe God's government's just a little like ours. It just takes a little longer to get things done. I don't know. So anyway, you got an extra 30 days, an extra 45. But listen to the verse 14. But as for you, and this is his assurance. He's saying, like, how long? What should I do? How's it going? He says, but as for you, go on your way to the end. You've walked with God. You've stayed faithful with God. You've been God's. Stay on the path until the end. And you will rest. Then you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of the days. There's a word in here for you and I about how to prepare for the times that we live in and the times that are coming to us. And I want to base my comments today out of verse 3. Those who have insight will shine like the bright expanse of the heavens. That's the stars. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The way for you and I to live lives that are unshakable, where we thrive in every circumstance of life, and we thrive in our faith no matter what's going on, is to be people who are becoming a rising star. So I'm going to tell you today how to be a star, right? And I'm not even going to charge you extra. I'm not going to sign you to a contract. I'm going to tell you today how to be a star. Not a rock star or a singing star. I'm going to tell you how to be a star in God's eyes. And I'm not making this stuff up because God's already told us. Here's the things that I want you to see today. And I want you to consider. He tells us there's two things that we need to do in order to be people who are rising stars in the eyes of God. One is you got to live with wisdom. You have to live with insight. And you got to lead many to righteousness. Those are the two things. You got to live with wisdom. You got to live with insight. And you got to lead many to righteousness. I want to break those down just a little bit for us. And I want to use the book of Daniel to give us some insight on how to do that. How is it that you and I, in verse 3, can be people who live our lives with insight, live our lives with wisdom, live our lives with godly discernment? How is it that you and I can live in such a way that we can shine like the stars in the expanse, right? How is it that we can be like that? Here's a couple of things that I think speak to us from the book of Daniel as we wrap up our study about how to live these unshakable lives and be a rising star. And here's the very first thing, and this may sound very simple, but it's very profound. It is never forget God is in control. Right, just a minute ago saying, you know, God's timing isn't always like our timing, right? And what we go through, we can be focusing on the wrong things and et cetera, instead of focusing on God. We can be focusing on our circumstances. Never forget that God is in control. The whole context of the book of Daniel, is a follower of God whose homeland is in ruins, dominated by God haters, and he's living his life in a place that is pagan and immoral and self-indulgent and all that kind of stuff. And the overarching message that seems to come through to us that God is trying to communicate is that he's in charge. All of the circumstances of Daniel's life would say, nope, God's not up to the task. Evil is stronger than good. The gods of Babylon are stronger than the gods of Israel. The gods of, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You can go, everything is screaming out differently. And yet, in reality, God is in control. And you and I need to remember that God is in control. You know, it's interesting. We sang the song, "There's Another in the Fire with Us." And that's from Daniel chapter 3. And some of you remember the story that we looked at a number of weeks ago now, where Daniel's three companions, again, teenage kids, who refused to bow down to the idol that the king had made, and what their penalty was to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And this is what they said to the king when he said, you know, listen, you can bow down, you can get out of this, and we'll play the music. If you bow down, it's all over, it's no problem, we'll just forget about what happened. They said, listen, we want you to know we're not going to serve your gods, because we know that our God, if he chooses to, can indeed deliver us. They knew that God was in control, no matter what was going on around them. In that moment when Daniel is tossed into the lion's den, right? He knows that God is in control. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he knows that God is in control. Those moments are so difficult for us. Listen, there are very few moments, I think, in our journeys. Maybe that's too strong of a way to put it. Let me put it this way. There are going to be many times in your journey that your circumstances around you in your life, whether it's at work and home, your financial life, neighborhoods, with family, whatever, those kinds of things, there are going to be lots of moments they're going to try to convince you that God's not in control, that God isn't sovereign, that God isn't powerful enough, that God's not good enough. And there's no way for you and I to live lives that are unshakable if we don't constantly remember that God is in control. Second thing I want you to see. If you and I are going to be people who live our lives with insight, live our lives with wisdom, even though there is lots of evidence to the contrary, we need to remember that God is in control. But we also have to definitively decide whose side we are on. Let me say that again, and maybe we should emphasize the word definitively. We need to definitively decide whose side we are on. Listen, none of the book of Daniel would have come to happen if you took out verse 8 of chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, here's this young kid first arriving into this powerful, overwhelming, beautiful, impressive city of Babylon. And he's just, you know, he's a POW, right? He's just a peon in the cog of all this power. And in verse 8, it tells us he determined in his heart not to defile himself. He decided that that very moment, he said, no matter what happens, no matter what comes down the pike to me, I am on God's side, and I'm not going to waver from that. He determined in his heart that he would not defile himself. Some of us, if we're going to be people who really live with wisdom, we're going to live with insight, we have to make that same determination. It's not just enough to know, right, that God is in control, but we have to decide once and for all, definitively, unchangeably, that we are truly on God's side. Listen, how did Jesus put it? No one can serve two masters. Because either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No different. It's Daniel's just living that out 600 years before the arrival of Jesus. He says, you know what? I can't serve two masters. I know what the evidence, I know what the circumstances tell me. Circumstances tell me God's lost, these people are in charge. I should go this way. This is the way I'm going to live if I'm going to make my way in the world. And he definitively determines which master he's going to follow. And with that, he can decide. Can we really say that? Can you really say that? When you think about your priorities, when you think about your values, when you think about your goals, when you think about your desires, when you think about what you do with your time, when you think about your ethics, go right on down the line. Do they provide evidence to you that you have definitively determined whose side you are on? You can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one. You have to decide whose side you're on. You know, my youngest son loves to make this statement, and I think he really does it more to annoy us and his wife, but he makes this statement all the time. You know, he says, don't talk about it, be about it. You know, that's really what God's saying to him. Don't talk about being on my side. Be on my side. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Don't tell him I used a quote from him, right? It'll go right through his head and the whole nine yards. And I think he got that from his college baseball team. Anyways. Got to live with wisdom and insight. We could talk about lots of things. Just remember, first of all, God's in control. That's the side you want to be on. Secondly, no, make up your mind once and for all whose side you're really going to be on. The second point is you got to lead many people to righteousness. Look at the second half of Daniel chapter 3. The reason why, at the end of the book, the very last verse, the angel can say to Daniel, you know what, Daniel, just keep living the way you're living. And you're going to experience eternal glory. The reason he can say that is because Daniel is doing these things. He's a rising star because, one, he's living with insight, and secondly, he's leading others to righteousness. How do you do that? Most of us find it terrifying to talk to other people about God, right? Faith is just it's a personal thing. I just can't talk to, we just leave it alone. Listen, I want to give you two things to think about related to this, about leading other people to righteousness. The very first thing I want to tell you is you have to delight in serving God and doing good. Let me say that again. You have to delight. And maybe the word the word definitively, the word that we really need to focus on the word delight. We need to delight and serving God and doing good, right? And this is so hard to kind of unpack because it gets touchy, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, there could be a sense in which we, on one end, we said we just love to do something. And on the other end, it's like we do it because we have to, right? Last week, I had lunch with Tom Bellamo. And Tom is, he loves to run. I don't, right? And I will tell you, there was a time that I did run. Now I make excuses, right? So I don't have to run anymore. My knees hurt, my ankles, I'm too fat, it's too hilly. You know, I got all kinds of great. Some people run because they love to. And some people run because they have to, right? We have to, right? When you think about your relationship with God and about serving Him and doing good, is it because you love to? Or is it because you have to? It's like, I really should. Do you love to? Or do you have to? You know, Christina and I celebrated our 37th anniversary this past Wednesday. Yes, she's a very lucky woman. So. Yeah. 37 years with me is enough penance for anybody to be able to get into heaven. There we go. And no doubt. We have a very vibrant and alive and joyful marriage, and which is a great thing. But I will tell you, the reason why is because it is not a chore to do what makes her happy. But I find delight in it. And I think that's true on the other side of the equation as well. There's a big difference in the way your relationship with God will feel when you delight in doing good and serving God. And here's the thing. When you love the way you're living, it's contagious. And you're going to lead other people. Right? You're going to lead other people to righteousness. You know, if you go to buy something, right? If you go to buy a car from somebody, and this you're gonna make this one of your biggest purchases, and they say, "Yeah, I think this car stinks, but you should buy it." You know, if that's the attitude, like I would never drive this thing, but you know what? I think you should buy it. That's the attitude of your salesman. You think you're gonna buy it, right? But sometimes that's the way we're living out our faith. We're living it out. It's like, you know, well, you know, it's a tough life and it's really hard and whatever, but you should try it. It doesn't work that way. We need to find delight in serving God. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing I want to tell you. You got to point other people to Jesus. You have to point other people to Jesus. Our time is starting to run away with us, and I could go in lots of ways. Places, but listen, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So you are the light of the world. As a follower of Christ, somebody who's decided which side you're on and has recognized that God is in control, you are the light of the world. And then Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You are commissioned into God's light brigade in the world, right? And he wants us to go out there and shine for him. We are designed to be the people that lead others to Jesus. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you're looking for the reference, just to write it down, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 21, but just listen to these words. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old passed away, and see, the new has come. We've become new people in Christ. We are now the light of the world. Everything is from God, because God's in control, right? Who has reconciled us through himself, through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This journey of bringing others to Jesus, he's given us that ministry of creating reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Guess what happens? If we never speak the message, nobody knows the message. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. If we want to shine and be leading people to righteousness, we've got to be pointing people to Jesus because he's making his appeal to us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, I'll just leave that alone. How do we get ready for the end times? Again, if you go back and read Daniel 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the undeniable message that you're going to get is it's going to get worse before it gets better. How are you going to be ready for it? You got to live like you're a rising star. The only way to live a life that's unshakable, where you thrive in all those circumstances, is to seek to be a rising star by living with wisdom, living with insight, knowing that God is in control and having decided whose team you're on. And then you got to point others to Jesus. You got to lead people to righteousness. And as we come to the end of our journey, I really want to give you just a moment at the end of our service today to pull a Daniel 1:8. I want to give you a moment to determine something in your heart. I know for some of you, this is the first message you've heard out of the whole series. I get that. But there's still enough here for us, for any of us, whether we're online or in person this morning, to determine how it is that we need to respond to God's word to us. So I want to give you a Daniel 1:8 moment. Say, you know what? In this moment, I'm going to determine not to defile myself. I'm going to determine that I'm going to be more have more connection to God in these moments or in this area of my life. And you know, I'm going to pray in just a minute. I'm going to give you just a little bit of quiet time. And then we're going to sing a final song. I want to give you an opportunity. Some of you may want to come and just symbolically, sometimes I think acting things out physically has a powerful voice for us. And you may just want to come and kneel here at these steps, like as though they're the altar before God. You may want to just kneel in your chair, just turn around and kneel, or just sit and pray while the rest of us stand and sing. Anything you want to do to give it physical things. But here's several things. First of all, you can always do whatever you want, right? As you usually will. But so and let me get just a few things I'd love for you to consider to determine. First thing, some of us need to determine you're going to spend more time in God's word. You're just going to spend more time reading the scriptures. You know, this whole journey at the end of the book of Daniel started because he was reading the book of Jeremiah. And God showed him some incredible things. Some of us just need to determine to spend more time in the Word of God. Second thing I want to challenge you to do. Some of us need to get in community with other believers. We're just trying to do this all on our own. Listen, folks, in those early chapters, one of the things we saw over and over and over again is that Daniel wasn't by himself. He had the three guys that we know through their Babylonians, name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know those three. They were together. He went to them and asked them to pray for him and vice versa. He was in community. Some of us, in order to be people who truly thrive in life and live life that's unshakable, the thing that we need to do is get into connection with other believers. I know a lot of our life groups are kind of like on a summer hiatus, and we'll be starting those up in about 5 weeks. But you can determine today, say, you know what, I'm going to find one. Even if it's just a couple of people that I meet, whatever, that pray for me and I pray for them, to get into a group. Some of us need to determine today that I'm going to stop doing faith like I'm the Lone Ranger. Third thing, Again, you can determine whatever you want. There are lots of other options. But there are things that said, some of us need to make up our minds today that we're going to share our faith with others. So you know what? I've been thinking about this person. I've been praying for them. We just need to make up our minds that we're going to share our faith with them. God is in control. Like Daniel, we have to decide whose side we're on and the things that we're going to do with that decision. For some of us, it's to spend more time in the Word. For others of us, it's to get connected to God's people and be on this journey together. And third, it's to lead others to righteousness through sharing our faith with them. What is it that God would have you determine today? What is the determination that you need to make to be living an unshakable life? Let's pray together for just a minute. I know online this may just be a little awkward. You're sitting, but I want to give you just a moment. Say, God, what is it that I need to do? How do I need to determine? What is it that I need to determine in my heart today so that I might live an unshakable life? How is God speaking to you today? I believe he wants to make it clear to us. What do you hear in your mind's voice, your mind's ears? Father, today I pray that there would be some that would decide for the very first time whose side they're really on by accepting the forgiveness for their trespasses, to use the words of Corinthians, and to become a new creature through faith in Christ. Father, for the rest of us, I pray that what we determine today would lead us to leave unshakable lives. That as a result of what we're going to decide in just these next few moments as we sing, which strengthen the foundation and the direction of our lives, so that we would truly be unshakable, like Daniel. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing a final song, and then will be dismissed. And again, I just want to give you, if we're singing and you just need to sit and pray, if you want to come and pray at the altar, et cetera, we're not going to draw this out, et cetera, give you an opportunity to pull a Daniel 1:8 to determine today how it is that you need to respond to God. Let's stand and sing together.